All right, everybody, it's 7 o'clock. Good evening and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Amy.
For those of you who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome here. Restroom over there. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. And as this is the last meeting of the month, we have a slightly altered format. If you haven't been here before, rather than having our normal panel discuss the passages in the big book pertaining to the step, we have a podium speaker who will share briefly or whatever on the reading. And then I will call on people to come up to the front and share their experience, strength, and hope on what we've just read. So we're starting with step 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And this reading begins on page 72. And I'm actually going to read all of the readings on step 5, which are page 72, 73, and 75. I don't know why I said that. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. I'm going to do all the stuff on step five, but I can stop right there if you'd like. You want to say something?
I would rather do like
all right.
Paragraph by paragraph.
Okay.
Or reading by reading. Okay, so I'm Daniel. I'm an alcoholic. Good to see everybody here.
Daniel.
Thanks for driving me here, Liz, giving me this opportunity to share on these readings. Now, the way that I was taught by those gentlemen in the back was reading just small paragraphs at a time and discussing them instead of reading the whole thing all at once. But on this, so these are my cool readers right here. It makes everything sunshiny when it's miserable outside, you know what I mean? So this fifth step, what I can say about where the hopelessness brought me was to the point where I knew something was definitely wrong with Daniel, and this was deep-seated, rooted things within my very being that needed to have some light shed on it. I needed new direction. I was completely self-destructive, and I, of course, lived with my own fear, my own doubt, my own confusion, frustration, and it was all mine and nobody else's. So what I knew was that something was very wrong with Daniel and that I had to do something different. The fifth step is at a point where I am actually laying myself open and being vulnerable. Now, I did not know the value of opening up about my life and who I think that I am. But evidently this has been passed down for millennia, that it is good for the soul, it's good for the spirit, and it can be validated with another human being that we are not necessarily so different. Isolation was a huge problem of mine, and living in my own fantasy world. Okay, I am God, I am the creator of my own existence. But that only goes so far for turning me around for my negative emotions and habits. I need to be guided, and light needs to be shed on my ego, my self-centeredness, my selfishness, my resentments and fear. And that's what I have on that first little reading, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to continue on with the reading on step five. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think that someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking.
Okay, thank you. So, Here I am, living a double life, one that I am very uncomfortable with when awake. When I'm asleep or drunk, it doesn't seem to bother me. But I know that the Daniel that I want to be is unobtainable because my actions when drinking are not of my inner self. They are completely contradictory to what I think that I am. This fear, this confusion, I'm not standing on solid ground at this point. And I feel I'm unraveling many times at work and in my life. There's a really terrible tension. And I can only hold it together well enough on the outside if I'm clean and I'm shaved and I shut my mouth, that perhaps I can make it through the day. But in my private thoughts, I am a wreck. I do not see the purpose of my existence at all other than to party down and forget about this miserable frickin' existence and all the horrors and inconsistencies and mediocrity that I see in my fellow man and not myself. However, like I said, I lead that double life. I'm a big hypocrite. I can't live up to my own ideals even if I wanted to. Okay? So that's there is a huge schism there between who I think I am and the way that I act. And it's all a big lie. That's what it is. Okay? Thanks.
All right. We're going to finish up the reading on step 5 on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
All right. So you guys know who I am. Anyway, I'm Daniel still. And what we have here, in my view, was probably the most frightening aspect, the most frightening act that I was going to take in my eyes was having to do this. Now, With that being said, I have done them in the past, and I did not stay sober. I did not dig to the depths that was necessary. It was all a very superficial recounting of my past history, and it was as though none of it really affected me, and that I was beyond it and I was past it. That was only because I did not lay myself open to the more embarrassing aspects of my personality, shortcomings, character defects that were cowardly, that were irreprehensible. I mean, in order to tell somebody these things, it made me look like a real freaking jerk. And that was necessary for me to put these things out on the table, because after all, I just told you guys that I was living a double life, and these things were not going to go away unless I was to expose them to another human being. That's what I was told. Did I believe it? Of course, I didn't know that this was going to be freeing. I just knew that I had to do it more thoroughly than I had in the past. It was three times that I had to do this before I finally knew that I... When, I'll tell you one thing. I knew that I had done it right because I was frightened. I was frightened. I knew what I had to do, and it scared me. And I wanted it to be over with, and I did not want to waste any time to do it. If that has been your experience, I believe that you have done it correctly. If there's no fear involved, maybe you should take another look. But I did feel at the very end, I don't know about all this nearness to God or anything, but I did not feel alone anymore, because I did mine with an alcoholic. As it turns out, he was as big, or if not bigger, you know, jerk than I was. Although I didn't even get to hear his fifth step, but you know, I can imagine things, okay? Thanks for letting me share that.
All right, who else wants to share on step five? Kyle?
I wasn't sure. I thought you said 5, 6, 7.
Oh.
Okay, just 5. Okay, that works, because I didn't do 6, 7 yet. No, as far as tonight, with my experience. I'm Kyle, addict alcoholic.
Hey, Kyle.
What I meant by that was I just did a fifth step with my sponsor about 30 minutes ago, so I didn't get to do 6 and 7 on that quite yet until now. We're about to read it, it looks like. So I get to look at it for a couple seconds. So just step 5, I guess. Just touching on step 5 is kind of a difficult thing to do without looking at the fourth step, and because it just, for me, it just all ended up being part of the same experience in the end. I like how it said in here, do it as if it's a life or death situation. I'm dramatic and I like excitement, and that sounded cool, and I was like, I'm gonna do this as if my life depends on it. I'm gonna die if I don't do it, and that sounds cool. I said it to people and told my sponsor that, now it is the truth. Ultimately, if I wouldn't have gone through this process and did as thorough of an inventory as I possibly could have in early sobriety, I did the best I could. If you would have, you know, this is a line that my sponsor said, if you would have hooked me up to a lie detector test, and when my sponsor asked me, did you leave anything out, I would have probably passed that. No, I didn't leave anything out. Now going years down the line, or even months down the line, things surface, things continue to come up, and I continue to have to do inventory. And luckily there's another step that touches on inventory that allows me to not have to have a perfect first, fourth step. And I'm one to put things off, and I like to wait until the last minute on everything I do in my life. And not even just wait until the last minute, I just like add more minutes, you know, I need more time. I don't even just wait till the last minute, I'm past on things. So I didn't, my first sponsor had me do it, and he didn't say you have to do it in 2 weeks or anything like that, but he said that we should meet up in a couple weeks or a month at the max, but continue to call me as you're doing this fourth step. And then once we did meet up, it was a couple hours. It wasn't like 40 years of life that I had to go through. I only had to go through 18 years of life, but it took a couple hours to do it. And then right after that, he left the room, and he's like, well, I guess we're about to go into the next process of it, but the last paragraph that we read there, I took that quiet time. I read the first five proposals, which my sponsor told me were the first five steps, and looked to see if I was leaving anything out, and that's when I believed that as if I wasn't leaving anything out. So that's pretty much what I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks. Sure. Leanne?
My name's Leanne. I'm an alcoholic. I delayed on this for a little bit. And the first time that my sponsor at the beginning said, you know, start writing on your fourth step. But as soon as I did that, then I was on. Like, I needed to get this stuff out because I was starting to see some truths about me that were pretty glaring and I wasn't comfortable with in my own skin. And so we met and started going through it. You know, I came here mad, very angry. I was blaming everybody else for my problems, and that's why I drank. And that was, for me, sharing that four step and looking at those four columns, especially the fourth column, where I began to see where I was ramming my will, I was being dishonest, selfish, all of this stuff. And this, for me, doesn't go away. You know, I had a couple of things the past week or two where the dishonesty comes back. And it's not like I'm telling you a bold-faced lie. It's that this omission, you know, that I'm not going to be truthful with having a conversation with you because it's going to be awkward or it's going to be uncomfortable, you know, that kind of thing. And so this is a process that continues, you know, on, and I'm grateful for that because I can get blocked and I can't hear God. I can't have a conversation with somebody where I'm listening to what they're saying. It's always what I'm going to reply or what's going on with me. I can't hear what they're saying to me. So this is an important part of the program. I mean, I can say that I did not have that obsession removed after I did this. I was still angry and uncomfortable, but you know, people always say that this is a process that continues, you know, on. And I don't get that spiritual awakening after doing step five. I thought I was going to, and I was really disappointed because I didn't get that. I had to continue on with the rest of the steps. So, if you're new and don't delay. Thanks.
All right, let's pick up the reading for step six, which is we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And we are on page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
All right, Daniel Stolenowski. And I forgot to add one very important passage that was stated by Bill in the 12 and 12 concerning the fifth step, because he doesn't say anything like this in the big book, but he says on page 61, it says, perhaps though your relation to him is such that you would care to reveal only a part of your story, if this is the situation, by all means do so, for you ought to make a beginning as soon as you can. It may turn out, however, that you'll choose someone else for the more difficult and deeper revelations. This individual may be entirely outside of AA. Your clergyman, your doctor, so forth. I just wanted to put that out there because I was a criminal, and if I start talking about maybe some of my criminal activities, it might not be taken so well by someone who was a victim of that particular crime. Who knows? So maybe, I don't know. If there's a little fear there, don't worry. It doesn't have to be all the same person. That was a huge relief. But I didn't know that until after I had done it. So I'm a slow learner. But in step six, so these are just flown through in the book here. It says step six, step seven. Anyway, the way that I understand step six, and it goes into much more detail in here, separates the men from the boys. Step six. The way that this turns up for me is that I have isolated many of my character defects that are glaring. Notice, most importantly, it talks about in our big book selfishness, self-centeredness, fearful, resentful, dishonest. Now, among those five top headings, there are many other nice little adjectives, not so flattering, that I can add to my repertoire of knee-jerk reactions. So what I do is I put them all on the table. And I know now, because I have a whole list of them, and some were probably pointed out to me, when I had my little talk about what the real problem is, Dan, yo. And so now I've got all this stuff on the table, and I become, willing to have God remove them, one and all. Very simple, very simple. That step is very simple. Here it is. Am I willing to have these be removed from my character? Well, what's the answer going to be? I mean, what is it going to be? What's it going to be? Are you going to do it? Are you going to go on? Or half measures avail? Are you going to do it or not? Half measures avail you nothing, right? Remember? So, of course, the answer is yes. But what does that mean? Okay, what that means, I guess we'll get to in step seven a little bit. My interpretation.
Okay. Nick, do you
want to
share on step six?
Sure. Sorry. Right.
My
name is Nick. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Step six. Oh, that's great. Well, and also, I mean, it was pointed out, thank God for sponsorship, because, I mean, one, when I look at the fourth step, which took me 6 months to write, I don't suggest that. And then the fifth step, I really am thankful for my sponsor and what he did for me. Because when I finally got through that stuff, big weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I was able to react to the world differently, to my fellows and my peers, and when I get to step six, I'm looking at my character defects, and what was pointed out to me by my sponsor was that, you know, these defects of character were something that helped me survive for a long time. They're the things that kept me going, which, like my lying, my dishonesty, my self-seeking, my selfishness, my anger, those things kept me pushing through some of the dark periods in my life and what kept me from dying from untreated alcoholism. And some of those things I'm not going to necessarily want to let go of first. And all it's asking me, which was pointed out, is, you know, am I willing? Am I just willing, you know, to have God remove these defects of character from me? And it's really just a decision, and I can honestly say that I was ready to let the old Nick die and hopefully have a new Nick through the grace of you know, God, who stands in front of you today. And my character defects, are they still there? Yeah, my first instinct is to lie. Because I don't want to hurt people and I don't want to get hurt, you know? So I want to people please and I want to please myself. So that gets really confusing sometimes. So, but do I lie as much? No. I like to tell the truth a little more. I like to show up for people today too, and I like to keep my word. And that's the result of eventually, as we go along and get to step 7 and 8, 9, 10, eventually those are the gifts that I was given from Alcoholics Anonymous in the 12 steps. So, I mean, if you're new and you don't know what we're talking about, it's all right. You just find somebody that knows the facts about themselves, which is, hey, when I drink, you know, I can't just have one. And when I stop, I can't stay stopped. And you get with that sponsor and they walk you through these 12 steps. So, you know, you have a little bit of knowledge and maybe you'll get some relief. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dan. Donald, would you like to share?
Hey,
do
Donald.
I have to? You don't if you don't want to.
Donald. How much time do I get?
Plenty.
All right,
Donald Smith, alcoholic. Sobriety date is October 17th, 1994. I think step six is really, to me, it does two things. When I first got sober, I think it gave me some hope that whatever the problems were that I identified in 4 and 5 would be able to be removed so that I would have a more peaceful and less conflicted life. But what I really didn't understand at the time, what I found out later, is that it's part of a process that I get to learn to live on a daily basis. And that step six, be entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character, or something as an attitude I can take for my whole life on a daily basis, every day. So that when the crazies come up, when I get crazy, I can stop for a minute and ask God to remove those defects of character. It's a willingness, it is an attitude, and I think it's one of the most positive steps around if you practice it in the right way. Early on, I mean, you know, I'm all screwed up. I got all kinds of crazy stuff going on in my head, and I'm thinking, I'm crazy, and God's going to remove that. And then I said, well, I'm not crazy, and I've asked God to remove them, and they're not gone yet. What's going on? Well, he's not ready yet. There's a reason why their things are still there. So part of that process is a learning experience for me. I get a chance to learn what life's about, what I'm about, and accept who I am. Because not all of them are going to go away. And it's the stuff that doesn't go away that's more important and more interesting than the stuff that does. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Thank
you, sir.
David Francis, would you like to share on step six?
Sure.
It's David Francis.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
David.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
This is my home group, Simple Actions. I have a sobriety date, October 24th, 1989. I have a sponsor, and I get to sponsor other men. And this has been a dynamite meeting. It is difficult to talk about any one step. Donald did a spectacular job. I don't have anything to add to that. I was just thinking through the whole meeting, though, that you know, we always say that we're scared of the fourth step, and the truth is, I'm not scared of the fourth step. I'm scared of that fifth step. You know, I don't want to tell anybody anything, and I'm leading the double life. I'm not that interested in being a good employee. I'm interested in appearing to be a good employee. You know, so I've led the double life all my life, and lies are great. And I had four. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I'm not going to do a fifth step, but I definitely had four or five things that I was going to take to my grave. I'm definitely not going to share these things. I'm a blackout drinker. You know, I never came out of a blackout doing charity work. You know, it was always something kind of weird or criminal or bizarre. You know, sometimes all that rolled up into one thing. And then I also know what it's like to be very, very drunk and remember all those things as well. So I had a bunch of. It was hard for me to approach this step, but what I was thinking when everybody was sharing and. Is that inventory, and then finally, you know, when we give that up completely to somebody else, for the first time in my life, I tell the truth about myself to somebody else. And the first time that I did that, I remember the environment, I remember where I was sitting, I remember the smell, and this guy's, he had a wood shop in his garage, and we sat out there. And sure enough, he had done every single one of those things that I had done that I was gonna take to my grave, and he gave me a gift that night of not being alone anymore. And I did feel that freedom when I walked away from that. You know, that I, at least there was hope that I could at least, it was okay. And that, you ever have a problem just resolve itself and you realize, and then you go, oh man, I didn't realize how bad that was weighing me down, you know? I mean, it just resolved itself, but that was my whole life. I was just carrying around all this stuff that I had no idea the weight of it. But at least then we're in contact with the truth, and a good sponsor will help you with that, and everybody's already shared about that. I come to find out, like, my problem isn't the way that you treat me and the way that you don't appreciate me and the way that all the things that I would have listed. My problem is me, that I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about, you know? And then there's a lot of fear associated with that. I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. It's not going to go my way. I'm not going to get what I want. So at least I come into contact with the truth about that. And my sponsor was very clear approaching these steps. You know, he said, your job, David, is to be willing to have these things removed. And as Donald pointed out, that's a daily practice. You know, we show up every day. Am I willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad? Take it. It's not mine. I don't have the power to work on these things. You know, my job is to identify, tell the truth about them, and then give it to the proper authority. Yeah, that's what I want to say. Thanks.
All right, we're going to move on to step 7. Also on page 76. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
Okay, Daniel, again. And just to follow up, so on step 6, all I have is a big table full of character defects. And then the way that I look at step 7 is that based on that 24-hour period when I wake up, sometimes I can autopilot. There's nothing big that's going to happen that day. I just try to be what? Useful, tolerant, cheerful, appropriate. Oh, appropriate. See, okay, so if I have a problem, I'm not going to do anything. If I have a character defect, chances are I'm not going to do about anything about it until it causes a problem. Now, fear is one. So as for one example that I like to use, because I've had many jobs, as you can imagine, being a drunk, and it was always going out and trying to find another job. and having to sell myself. And I just didn't feel like I had anything to sell. Just didn't feel like it. I just had to BS and somehow act as if. Now, on a daily basis, so if that's my problem, what do? I ask God for courage, okay? And I ask God to help me to face this fear in the realization that I am much more than what I appear to be and what I think of myself as. Not a real high opinion of what I can contribute. I do now. I do now. But I had to convince myself and I had to take that leap of faith and put my best foot forward and not shirk the responsibility, not standing in the unemployment line, not looking for the easy way out, not settling for a job beneath me, unless that job, not, I don't want to say beneath me, not settling for a job which isn't up to my level of expertise, let's say. I got to sell myself for what I am capable of doing and feeling good about it, win, lose, or draw. Here lately, character defect that's on the table just now happening, not the first time, just shows up in a different set of clothes, trying to control in a Oxford house. Nobody's doing their chores to the extent that I like. They're not paying their rent on time. Starting to snowball. We can get away with this. We can get away with that. What do I do? Do I let it derail? No. I express my concerns in the meeting on Tuesday. Let them know that we are headed down a steep decline here if we continue to let it go on, and don't ask me for any tools because I'm not going to get them back. Is that a character defect? No. Anyway, so that's what it is. It's a daily thing. Every 24 hours I wake up, what do I got to do today? God help me to overcome these obstacles. What's my old knee-jerk reaction, operation? Let's try and keep it honest, useful, tolerant, and loving, if at all possible. And if not, keep my mouth shut, turn around, and walk away. Okay, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Hey.
My sobriety date is May 9th, 1994. I wake up every day with untreated alcoholism. And what that currently means for me is that I continue to see the world and everyone and everything in it through a filter of self. Everything that you do or that you don't do in relationship to me and me getting what I think I need in order to be okay. That filter of self causes me to be emotionally reactive. It causes me to be in the blind spot of my own ego. I would tell you that I'm the most helpful person in the world. The people that work with me would tell you that I'm a control freak. I would tell you that I'm the most generous person in the world. But people who have been on the receiving end of my generosity probably know that at the back of my mind, I'm keeping tabs. I'm thinking about when it's going to come rolling back my way. These aren't pretty things. I went to a movie today and there was a narrator. And there were a couple of clues that made me believe that the narrator was Brad Pitt. It was a Plan B production. I know that he owns that. It was kind of a political thing. He made a political public service announcement during the midterm elections. So I gathered up these little pieces of evidence, this reality,
and I put it through the God that I worship, my big brain, or what I was currently worshiping, and I decided it was Brad Pitt, except it didn't exactly sound like Brad Pitt. But I kept listening and kept listening, oblivious really to the movie unfolding and anything else going on, because my mind is crunching, trying to assess and analyze every intonation to make the voice that I kind of think might not be him, but I'm going to make it be him because I've already determined that fits the reality of the situation. The minute that I was able to say to myself, that is not fucking Brad Pitt, shabam, it came in my head who it was, and my troubles were over for the moment. The point of me telling that story, the point of me saying that is that when I'm looking at the world through a filter of self, I miss out on all kinds of information because I'm maneuvering and manipulating reality. I have a little old neighbor who really looks out the window all the time. And she called me up one day and she said, our neighbor Joe is cheating on his girlfriend. And there's a blonde and there's a brunette and they have two different cars and they're coming and going at all times of day or night. Now, to my little old lady neighbor, that did fit the facts, but I know Joe. And Joe has two daughters from two different wives that go to two different schools and have two different cars and they come and go at all times of the day or night. This is how my character defects drive my self-centeredness. My pride tells me that I know how the world should be. I'm so smart, this is how things should look. This is how an AA meeting should be. I can get resentment against my fellows because everyone didn't show up with a big crack-a-lackin' smile on their face, ready to make the coffee, and one person had to make the coffee by himself. And I wasn't even the one that made the coffee, but I did get irritated when I realized that we're gonna waste that 40 cup coffee that he made because no one's going in there to get coffee. And so I started thinking I should be gently pushing people into the kitchen to get coffee tonight. But I'm not gonna drink any of the coffee because I can't have caffeine in the evening. But so this is what's going on. This is what's rolling. And so that seventh step prayer, I am now willing that you should have all of me good and bad. The bad for obvious reasons, so I'm not raping and pillaging. The good, because I don't even know what to do with the good part of me. It is hopelessly polluted with this filter of self. Everything I think I know. I think I know what a good AA fellow is. I think I know that what a good person who has my job is. I think I know what a good mother is. I've never even had a child, but I will judge the crap out of any of you that are a mother that your child isn't acting right. Because I have an idea based on what I think I know, based on my big brain, which tells me that all my ideas are the superior ones, that this is how things should be folding. Then the real fun starts when I start treating you as if you're an inferior mother. Because it doesn't just stay in my head and make me miserable, it's got to jump out of my mouth and start making you miserable too. Then I'm in amends. Then I'm in dishonesty because, well, you should know better. I would never do anything like that. Well, that's absolutely not true. I've never had the opportunity to do anything like that. But all of my character defects will come together in this beautiful, perfect storm that will prop up my ego in my grand desire to be the smartest person in the world and the person who knows exactly how everything should be done, the arbiter of all that is good in the world. And then the seventh step prayer goes on and it says, remove everything that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And I kind of choke that out a little bit because I want to be rendered perfect for me. I want to be fixed so that I can go on happy, joyous, and free. Don't really care about y'all. You're bit players in my life. I want it all to happen for me. And the prayer clearly indicates to me, this is only going to happen. I am only going to have access to this power that transforms me if I make use of it, if I am doing it in service to God and my fellows. It's not about me. And again, that's because me is hopelessly polluted with self. I have self-seeking motives. I think every relationship is supposed to make me feel good about me. I have self-seeking motives at work. I think that my boss should automatically give me more money just because I'm standing around making him look good. And it works in the reverse. I think that the reason that I'm a loudmouth know-it-all is because my parents raised me and told me I was not pretty enough and I would never be successful enough. So now at 51 years of age, I'm still proving them wrong. and they really care. So all of this stuff, all of these things are the causes and conditions, these shortcomings, these defects of character. Really, it's all pride and fear. Pride. I am not good enough, but I have a desperate desire to look good. Fear, everyone else is doing better at things than I am. Fear, there won't be enough. I always need more. If what I have isn't making me feel the way I think I need to feel, then more will make me feel better. If a little bit is good, a whole lot will be better. I've got alcoholism. So who else wants to share on this? Grant. Good. Thank you.
I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic. Grant.
As everybody's sharing, I'm thinking about a couple of book studies I've been to over my experience in AA, and real simply in the form of this inventory and what we come to bear in terms of finding out these facts about myself is there's just three instincts. There's a social instinct, there's a sex instinct, there's a security instinct that drives my reaction to the world all the time. Where every day when I wake up, I'm either interested in getting more or sharing a little bit with those around me. And I had this delusion when I came to AA that this fifth step was really about figuring out what I did wrong when I was drinking so I could get back to who I was before I was drinking. And what I've discovered as a result of doing another inventory and another fifth step and another six and seven more than a few times in AA is that I have alcoholism. That it wasn't the drinking that produced these character defects. I have these character defects much in the way it's described in 6 and 7 and 12 and 12 that I just don't know how to manage them particularly well. Right? Yeah, I might need a little more money to pay bills, but I'm gonna decide that because I don't have enough money to pay my bills, I'm gonna spend a bunch of money over here, make myself look good, so you all don't realize that I'm terrified out of my mind that I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Or that because I can't get the right kind of relationship in my life, I'm gonna go running around with all these different people I think you think make me look good, right? I'm terrified that I'm gonna look bad, so I'm gonna try to keep up the Joneses. And all through that, I start lying to people, I start taking advantage of people, and at the end of the day, the real problem isn't that I've done all that stuff, it's that when I look myself in the mirror, I'm ashamed of the person that I am. That I can't be the person God would have me be. Right? Loving and kind and tolerant and understanding and patient. So instead of pausing and asking God to show me how to do that a little bit better again, I start throwing my will again around again, start screaming at little kids, right? Start seeing people call on the phone and, you know, they can just leave a message. I'll get back to them, right? I'm not interested in how I can be of service or use to other people. I'm interested in how I can fix this problem again. And that's me running this show again, right? Because I find myself in that place time and time again, those mental inconsistencies that run parallel with sane thinking start to win out, right? And the only way that I can overcome those is when I will face those. When I look at them black and white, put them on paper, stop and take attention and pay it where it's due, and take that attention and bring it to God, right? And I have to share it with another human being to check my motives. Like, am I trying to check this inventory out again so that I can be righteous and know what's best again? Or am I doing this because I need to find a little bit more humility in my life? Do I need to have another experience that, you know, I just don't know what's good for me. I don't know what's bad for me. I just need another opportunity to fall on my knees and recognize that the world as it is just fine. And I'm just fine. But I can't recognize that relationship between those two things until I can get that level of humility. Like Amy was just sharing, you know. Can I take it and say, oh, can I make this useful for others? Not, God, get me out of this again. Can I make myself of a better purpose for you? Right? So that when you call me on the phone, I'll answer your phone call. That when my child's pulling at my shirt, I'll stop and get down on a knee and say, hey, how can I help you? Right? Because that's the person I want to be. And it's possible. Right? Like, that's what I didn't know until I did this. All of those things are possible. Right? As a result of having a spiritual awakening. Right? When I continue to do this process and not do it particularly well and go through it and go through it and continue to do it and be willing to do it and open my mind and my heart to it, that I have spiritual experiences, that I learn new levels of growth, and that this is an ongoing process. It's never going to end. Like, I keep thinking I'm going to step out one day and be like, oh, it's good. It's all set right here. But the thing is, like Donald said, it's a daily reprieve. We just keep coming back to it over and over and over again. Thanks.
Thanks, Grant. Thank you. All right, we're going to pass the basket in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Are there any AA-related announcements? I have an announcement. The Principals Group is celebrating their 10th anniversary on January 22nd. And David Francis, our David the Francis, is the speaker. The food is at 6:30, the speaker is at 7:30. It's a great group, a great place to get together, January 22nd. Yes, Malcolm.
Not an alcoholic.
Oh.
My home group, AA101, is having its anniversary celebration next Sunday. We're serving breakfast at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, our speaker will begin. It's K. And you know, I don't know her last initial.
H.
K-H. Thank you. January 6th, Sunday at 11 o'clock. 10 o'clock again, breakfast is served at Norfolk Sentara Hospital. Free parking in the Heart Hospital garage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Okay. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Yes.
Hey, I'm Timmy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Timmy, welcome. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Literature is available on the table outside, and please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available up here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me about sponsorship. Reminders. We're not doing that. Closing. Thank Daniel again for coming out. Thanks to all who participated. And will someone please volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Ebony Alcoholic.
Ebony.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.
Thanks. All right. We have a nice way of closing. All
right. Good job, Daniel.
Thank you.
Our Father,
who
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stay.
Yeah.